This is part one of a two-part video, so make sure you smash that subscribe button so you don't miss the second episode. All right, we have former Purdue Boilermaker Rafael Davis joining the show. He won the 2015 Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year and now works for Big Ten Network as an analyst, a college basketball analyst. Rafael, welcome to the show, and how are you doing today?
What's up, Matt? I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So, yeah, let's take it back to your college days real quick before we talk some current Purdue and Big Ten hoops. But going all the way back to high school, why did you choose Purdue out of high school?
I would say I chose Purdue going into high school just because I committed so early. I committed as a freshman. But Paint was young. Purdue was still growing under him. Etwine and Lou Jack and those dudes were still young. And Baby Boilers was thriving and campus was rocking. But, I mean, recruiting started a little early for me. So it was a lot to do with my parents. And they trusted Coach Paint. They trusted with what he wanted to do with the program, and it just was a good fit early on. And then through high school, Coach stayed loyal to me. Nothing ever changed. He stayed himself, and they won a lot of games, and it always just made sense to stay at home and stay in Indiana.
Well, so if you committed as a freshman in high school, something tells me that you were kind of an early bloomer. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I guess you could say I was 6'2", 6'3", as a freshman. I scored a lot of points. I think my first high school varsity game as a freshman, I think I had a triple-double or something like that. So I played with a lot of good talent in the state, sure. So I was seen really early. I mean, our AAU teams were always loaded. So all of the guys in my class, I came up in probably one of the, I like to call it, I mean, not even just me, I will call it the best class probably in Indiana history. So all the guys seem to be starting to get offered around that freshman year.
Sure. Okay. Interesting. So out of curiosity, how old were you when you got your first dunk?
First dunk? 13.
13.
Seventh grade warm-up lines. First warm-up line of the season. That's crazy. I still know what shoes I had on. My orange and white Jordan Retro 8s. Yeah.
In seventh grade, you know, it's like you'll be dunking and then the other team will be starting like a 4'11" point guard.
one dunk in warm-up lines can demoralize a whole middle school team.
So yeah, exactly. Cool. Exactly.
I've been on both sides of that.
Sure. But you earned minutes right away in college. You had a role on each Purdue team you played on. What was your favorite year, favorite season at Purdue?
Favorite year will be my junior year. That's probably our best year as a team, as a program. While I was there, we weren't expected to do a lot. We had just came in last place in the Big Ten. And so I always like to tell people nowadays, I mean, just think of Minnesota finishing with a double bye next season. That was kind of exactly what we did. We were bottom of the Big Ten, and we finished with a double bye, tied for third in the league my junior year. And I went from being one of the worst defenders to ever come through Purdue to win a Defensive Player of the Year. So that was a big win. That was a big moment my junior year because we also had a lot of guys. We had guys graduate, obviously, but then we had a couple guys transfer for better. And we ended up winning. We ended up going back to the tournament. The guys that transferred did not go to the tournament. So, I mean, it was an all-around win.
Yes, sir. No, I remember that team really well. And I remember the NCAA tournament in particular. You know, people were saying that you guys, with the size you had down low, could match up well with Kentucky. Hypothetically, yeah. You guys get past Cincinnati. How does that Kentucky game go?
No, I think a lot of our guys look past Cincinnati, too. I mean, I think you look at that game against Cincinnati, I think we're up like 7 with a minute to go or something like that. So we feel like we should have won that game, could have, would have, should have. But I think a lot of guys, naturally, you look over that first game and you look towards Cincinnati. I mean, towards Kentucky. And I'm sure some of the Kentucky guys, I mean, I'm sure some of the Cincinnati guys looked over us and looked towards Kentucky. But I think it would have matched up well. I mean, myself and AJ Hammonds, we grew up playing with Trey Lyles. He was on our AAU team.
Okay.
I probably would have maybe checked him. They started a really big lineup. I mean,
yeah.
You go AJ. I would give AJ and Willie Cauley-Stein. That was a big, good battle. Vince Edwards maybe struggled with Karl Anthony Towns, or maybe I guard Karl Anthony Towns, and then you put Vince on Trey Lyles. But I think I think that would have been a good game. I think AJ was that good, where AJ Hammonds was one of the best players in the country that never really got the credit to be, never really put up the numbers to be, I guess. But when it came time to playing in those big games against good competition, yeah, I think he would have rose to that level. And I think defensively that year, we always had a chance. We had a chance against anybody defensively that year. It'd have been about making shots.
Yeah, and was that your proudest moment as a Boilermaker, was making that NCAA tournament after 2 years of not making it? And, you know, I believe you guys played in like the CBI your freshman year. Was that your proudest moment, kind of getting Purdue back on track?
No, man. My proudest moment would be graduating with my daughter. I had a daughter my sophomore year in college. Well, she was actually born my freshman year. So I had a daughter my freshman year in college. Well, no, my daughter was born my sophomore year in college. So in the freshman year in college, I know I'm having a daughter. She's born my December of my sophomore year. And to go sophomore, junior year, she's on campus with me. Senior year, she's on campus with me. She's going to games. She's seeing what a college's life is like at 2 years old. And then
yeah,
for her to graduate with me and still have those pictures and whatnot, that was probably my proudest moment. Carrying her on senior night, doing my speech, was another proud moment. But then also, I would say beating IU at home in the way we did my junior year. It was a really good moment, because we had beaten them my sophomore year. We came last place in the Big Ten, so it didn't matter. But when we swept IU my junior year, we beat them that second time at home. It really felt like the program had just turned around. And I don't think it was a tournament, because we knew we were going to the tournament. I think it was that IU game. I think it was the Ohio State game at home. It was just little games where you just kind of felt the tide start to turn in the gym, sure, and the fans start to believe, and you got to see Vince and those guys kind of grow up. So I think because that year, our non-conference was bad. We lost, 4 games in a row. It was North Florida. I'm not in order, but it was North Florida, Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, and Gardner-Webb going into the conference play. So we were slated to have another rough year, and then we came out and we played well. So that Big Ten season was special.
Oh, absolutely. And Purdue really has been rolling every year since then. I think maybe 1 year where they didn't make the tournament. So, yeah, you guys kind of got Purdue back on track. But would you say that 14-15 squad – what did you say, that was better than your 15-16 squad or senior year squad, or which team do you think was better?
I would say we were better. Yeah, I would say we were better on that team. I think just out of pure ignorance, just out of pure nothing to lose. I mean, we had played 4 freshmen. None of the guys except AJ really came back demanding minutes. Even AJ wasn't the guy as our sophomore years. Tyrone Johnson was. So he stepped into a new role. I would say that year we really just played hard. We played hard. Nobody had any expectations for us and all of that. That next year we came into the season ranked. Biggie was an All-American and whatnot. And I think that year on paper we might have been better, Ryan Klein or whatnot, but the offense, we struggled to adapt to a too big lineup, and it really bogged us down. And I think even if you go to that the next year after we leave, you go to the 16-17 year, Paint went away from the too big lineup. He started the season with Isaac and Biggie, kind of how he did with AJ and Biggie. And not even midway through the year, he puts Biggie at the 5, lets Vince go back to the 4, and sure, Biggie player of the year or whatnot. They win the Big Ten, and I think if he would have done that the year before, we had the similar success, but I think the flow of the offense would have been better. Because I think Vince Edwards was Vince was so good. It was really, really good. And I think Jamison Battle went through this past season is that when you have a four man and they have the advantage against other four men, like Vince could beat any other four man off of the dribble, get to a shot, get whatever bucket he wanted, but he could also guard them. But when you switch from the four to the three, it's a different animal. I mean, you're being guarded by a quicker guy. You're not able to get around guys if you don't have that quickness. Defensively, you're asked up for more. And I think the 15-16 year, I don't know. I think Vince struggled with that. I struggle with going to more of a spot-up shooter role, not really having driving lanes. But I would say on paper we were better, but I think the team flowed better. And then you had John Noctius. I think John Noctius was one of the better point guards that Payne has had and no one really mentioned.
Sure. No, interesting. You know, as a Wisconsin guy, I kind of think of Nigel Hayes when he mentioned that, you know, going from the four to the three and having some struggles. I didn't really think about that, like with just a quicker defender guarding you versus having
the Nigel was that way too, because I remember Nigel would go around our four man and then I check him and then I'm a guard. So, I mean, you do just that natural, if you're a stretch four or maybe a slower, non-athletic three that's kind of taller, you're in that mode and you have that advantage. That's why I'm excited for Jamison battle this year. I see at Ohio State him getting back to that four row, because that's really where he has an advantage. So I think from 15 to 16, that was a big difference maker. And then obviously, I mean, you go with the expectations. Now we're teams are hunting us compared to when we are hunting others. So I think that shifts as well.
Interesting. And obviously you're one of the great defenders in recent memory, in recent Big Ten memory. And you would be tasked with guarding the other team's best player. Who are some of your favorite matchups to guard in the Big Ten?
In the Big Ten specifically, I would say D'Angelo Russell comes to mind that year. If I had to pick three, it would be D'Angelo Russell, DJ Newble, and I mean, that year was loaded, man. Because you really can't. I mean, I can't give you three because it just was each team had a guy. Each team, I mean, Ohio State, D'Angelo Russell. I mean, DJ Newble at Penn State. I mean, you had Melo Trimble at Maryland. You had, I mean, Frank Kaminsky.
Des Wells that year.
Yeah, you had Des Wells that year. Yeah. You had Teran Petway and Ravonte Rice.
A lot of good two guards.
Austin and Andre Hollins at Minnesota. I mean, Denzel Valentine was at Michigan State. Caris LeVert was at Michigan. James Blackman and Yogi Ferrell at IU. I mean, it just was, you could not take a night off. Maybe Rutgers was a team that was down. I mean, their point guard was pretty good. I forget his name. Miles was pretty good, but other than Rutgers, I don't think there was a down guard in the league. So, I mean, you had every and if it wasn't a guard, I would guard a Sam Decker or I would guard a Frank Kaminsky. So, no matter who the matchup was, it was a tough out. So, I think D'Angelo Russell was a fun one because he ended up getting drafted 2 overall, obviously. So, that's always a fun one. But then Newble was probably the toughest to guard just because you just never knew what AJU was going to get. Isaac wasn't the best with ball screen defense. And Penn State ran the same play over and over. They would give the ball to DJ Newble. He'd come off the high ball screen, and he had a funky jump shot where he would shoot it this way. And you couldn't really get to it. And he hit us for 40, and I fouled out. So that was probably the toughest game I had defensively.
Sure. And on the flip side, you know, you played against all these, you know, really good two guards in the Big Ten or in college basketball. Was there any of these elite guys where you kind of were like, I have this guy's number a bit. Like, I can put the clamps on this guy.
Man, I felt like that against everybody.
Sure.
I remember D'Angelo Russell came out and said I was the toughest defender he had to face just because he was a freshman. I tried to body him a bunch and kind of put my weight on him.
Sure.
That was always fun one. My favorite matchup was always James Blackman Jr. just because I'm from Fort Wayne. James is from Fort Wayne. But also, we were middle school teammates. So I was in eighth grade. James was in sixth grade. We went undefeated through the year, whatnot. We play on same AAU team. So that's always fun to not have a guy just from your hometown, but a guy you used to play with on the floor.
Yeah.
That matchup was always good. But, I mean, I would say I was, and too, I had James's number because I would try to little bro him in a sense. I would try to rough him up a little bit, but
sure,
yeah, those two, and then also the battles that I would have with DJ Nubu were pretty fun too. He'd get me, I'd get home. It just, I remember because that season they got us, I think we were at Penn State when I fouled out, and then the Big Ten tournament, we knocked those dudes out. So those were fun. And Rayvonte Rice and Teran Petway, they talked a whole lot of trash. So those are always good too.
Good deal. And one of my last Purdue questions before we talk some current Big Ten hoops is, do you have any good Matt Painter stories? Any favorite Matt Painter stories from your time at Purdue?
No, I mean, I don't really got a lot of funny stories that you could, like, I guess, share in a sense. But just a lot of, like, just like Paint was just such a straight shooter. Whereas, though, the stories that I remember were more about life, were more about, like, he would say random stuff. When you're 30, try to park downtown and you're going to understand. He would say, try to park downtown Chicago. You understand how hard you have to work to succeed. Stuff like that. Just little,
sure,
little things, like little messages and little memos. Like there's little things that I write in my house that I took from Purdue, or if you like a message that I always will share to kids or share to anybody is, if you don't like the hole you're in, stop digging. So he would always have these little sayings he would say, or that would really hit home, especially later in life. But Payne was what you see is what you get. And like I said, sure, I committed as a freshman. So you got to think I started being recruited a year earlier than that. So he's been consistent. He's been the same. He's been sarcastic. He's been humorous the whole time. And you don't see that with a lot of people. I mean, he just a couple years ago, he come down to New Orleans for my wedding. He's walking Bourbon Street. He's just a regular dude. And he's just like hanging. If you meet Paint, you hang out with him, and you didn't know he was Purdue men's basketball coach, you would just think he was a cool dude that liked baseball. So it's always good with him.
Very cool. And last question here before we get into some Big Ten hoops is, how have you grown since your time in college? What's changed most about you since you were 22 years old?
I've had more kids. So I left Purdue with one kid. Now I have three kids and a wife. I guess my understanding of the world has changed. My understanding of my community has changed and my neighborhood. So I guess I've just grown in that way. And now I'm at the point where less is more. And whatever I could do to give back to push the next person, to give them opportunities I had, I try to do it. So I guess where I've grown most would be just having the mindset to do more for others. And I think, because for me, like I tell you right now, I committed to Purdue as a freshman. So I had a lot of basketball experiences that were great, even just life experiences that a lot of kids may not have, or a lot of adults may not have. So for me, it's about giving as many kids the opportunities through basketball or not through basketball as I can, because also I understand that at 14 I had opportunities because I was 6'3" with a mustache and I could dunk. And there's kids right now that are 13, 14 that are 5'2" and unathletic, but they still need opportunities to do things, and they may still love basketball, but they may not be the player. But it's people like yourself, people like me, that can show them different avenues into basketball, like media, or like being a video coordinator, or like being a trainer, player personnel, to where they can really find something they love and can find something they can have goals and passions for. So mine is all about, at this point in my life, and I know I'm saying it's like I'm old, but it's just about giving back and trying to find as many people I can help as I can.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very cool. And you're obviously a college basketball analyst now. Was that always what you wanted to do once your playing career was over?
No, I can't even say that, because it's something I guess I wanted to do. It's one of the things you just don't know how you go about doing it. And I spent a couple of years trying to get involved in it, talk to Coach Painter about it, talk to Robbie Hummel about it. And it's something that, by the grace of God, just came about. And I haven't necessarily asked how it happened. I'm not one of those guys. I don't want to find out how it happened. I just know it happened. And I got an email, and it was during COVID, and I didn't think it was going to end up happening. And then you just got to stay persistent. Once I got it, got the email, I just kept reaching out. And then I got an audition and then kept reaching out. And then I got a, I think four dates led to 10 dates. And then now this will be my third season. So something that I didn't necessarily think I will be doing, but something that I went to school for communications and sales and whatnot. So something that I knew I would like to do, but it's been a blessing being able to do it.
Shout out to Ray Fell for coming on the show, and make sure to stay tuned for part 2. It should be coming out on Thursday night.